is scarred. It's scarred. Separation from God. All these things happen. Clothing now worn, agony in childbirth and labor, righteousness lost, removed from the garden, environment cursed, death to all mankind because of the fall. The fall was devastating. It went from this perfect environment, this perfect, pristine environment. Now, I'm not sure if the picture on the right happened all of a sudden, but eventually, this is what a cursed creation looks like. And so they leave the garden, head down and ashamed. God's creation fell. Before the fall, the wolf had a calm, peaceful nature.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his series, The Great Showdown, God versus Man. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Ravages of Sin.
And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? Who told you you were naked? There was this fellowship between God that was broken. And the first sign of the fellowship that had been broken is that man went and hid himself from God. Can you imagine in the garden that Adam and God walked in openness? There was an openness between God and Adam. And then all of a sudden, in the fall, this openness is affected and Adam and Eve hide themselves. And you know what? Mankind has been hiding himself from God ever since. If you think about your life, what skeletons do you have in your closet? What things have you tried to hide over the years? But you know what? Even in the case of Adam, you can't hide it from God because he knows all. He sees all. But the first thing that happened is that man was separated from God. And then we see now he has to wear clothes. And, you know, that's, when you think about the fact that, as I said, that openness where man didn't even need clothes, that it says that they were naked. And earlier in the book of Genesis, it says they were naked and they were not ashamed. Absolutely no shame at all. And yet and still, you know, some people today, they go back to that verse where it says they were naked and not ashamed and look at TV and look at the magazines, look at the movies, right? There's a lot of people today that's naked and unashamed. So we see it, you know, in our society. But there was something about the awareness that came to Adam and Eve where now it arises within them the fact that this is not right. This is not right. And so shame and guilt came upon them. And now they have to start wearing clothes. We see the next thing is that there's agony in childbirth. That before, I don't know if there was going to be pain or not in childbirth. You know, I heard one lady saying that when she gets to heaven, the first person that she's going to look for is Eve. She's going to look for Eve. And she's going to confront her in heaven because she's going to say, you know what, I don't know how many kids that this lady had, but just having one, you know, and going through that pain. But that is a result of the curse, that there is pain in childbirth. We see he lost his righteousness, that he no longer had the righteousness that God created him with. This innocence, this sinlessness now was gone. It was wiped away. One of the devastating things is that he was removed from the garden. Look at Genesis chapter 3, Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground where he was taken. So he drove out the man. He drove him out of the Garden of Eden and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden the cherub and the flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. This perfect environment that Adam and Eve experienced, now they were driven out of it. So not only were they driven out of it, but we see that now the environment is even cursed. The environment is cursed, that the world around us is cursed. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, let's read verse 21. And it says here, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. So even creation is groaning. The environment has been affected. And then the final thing we see, the D, it means death. That all have sinned. That death has passed upon every individual. So when you look at this, God's perfect creation now is scarred. It's scarred. Separation from God. All these things happen. Clothing now worn. Agony in childbirth and labor. Righteousness lost. Removed from the garden. Environment cursed. Death to all mankind because of the fall. The fall was devastating. It went from this perfect environment, this perfect, pristine environment. Now, I'm not sure if the picture on the right happened all of a sudden, but eventually, this is what a cursed creation looks like. And so they leave the garden, head down and ashamed. God's creation fell. Before the fall, the wolf had a calm, peaceful nature. But what happened? The fall affected the wolf and made him vicious, and made him a terror. You know, when you think about Isaiah said, the lion and the lamb in that day, in a future day, they will lay down together. But you know, if they lay down together now, it's going to be lamb chops, right? Right? You put the lion and the lamb. Man, if you ever watch these National Geographic presentations where these lions are running down zebras and running down baby giraffes and stuff like that. It's vicious. It's brutal. And what causes them to have this terroristic nature inside? What causes them to be these individuals that will just tear through another animal? It's the fall. My brothers and sisters, we need to see the effects of the fall. God's creation, and the beauty of God's creation, the rose, was a pristine flower. No thorns or thistles in the rose. And after the fall, God said, now thorns and thistles shall be incorporated into my creation. Boy, you would think that what man did would only affect himself, but it affected all of creation. The seas were calm. The firmament was divided from the waters below and the waters above, there was a firmament, there was a divide, and it was a peaceful experience for those upon this earth. But now somebody said, well, why do we have hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis? Why is that? I'm going to tell you why it is, my brothers and sisters. It's because of the fall. The fall. We just read it in Romans that all of creation is groaning because of what one man and one woman did. I'm not glad as I look around at what I see, but at least one thing I can say, I know how it happened. I know how it happened. I don't have to question or wonder. I know how it happened. It wasn't a myth. It wasn't it wasn't poetry. But as the movie we saw, it was history. Before the fall, that first couple had bodies that were perfect. Before the fall, the first couple had a relationship where everything was cool, where they got along. And before the fall, they lived in, as I said, this pristine environment. But now we look around and we see the ravages of the fall. You know, whenever I look at somebody that's dealing with an addiction and they're strung out on drugs, the one thing that comes to my mind, Adam got you. Adam got you. Because it says, as by one man sin, and by one man that sin was passed down. Fall. When you look at starvation around the world, and you see little babies with stomachs big because their blood, they haven't eaten anything. That's because of the fall. You know, we can look around and say that this regime is oppressing or that regime is oppressing, and that might be true, but it all goes back to the fall. We look around, we see graves, we see coffins. We see coffins of that big, and we see coffins over 6 foot long. Death has affected everyone. You can't turn on your TV and watch the morning news and not hear about it. Somebody that has died. Somebody that has died. And you know what? No matter how it happened, you turn it on. You know, sometimes you turn on the local news and all you hear is bang, 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 bang. Report after report after report about somebody who got killed. Whether it was by accident or whether it was by intentionality. No matter what the case is, you hear about people that are dying and you look at that and the first thing that should come to our minds, no matter how sad it is, no matter how it happened, it goes back to the fall. It goes back to the fall. Put a lady up there giving birth. So if any of y'all getting ready to have a baby, or you just had one, and you experienced any pain, just blame it on the fall. All goes back to the fall. Relationships. Why is there trouble in relationships? You know, we can have all the counseling in the world. And I, you know, we have a biblical counseling center here, and I truly believe that the Word of God, that biblical counseling, that counseling can help people and straighten them out. But it all happened. Because of the fall. Because of the fall. And so just look. Look what's happened. We live in this fallen world. And so we need not be surprised when things happen. And we need not be surprised when sinners sin. Because that's their resume. Their resume is the sin. So it shouldn't shock us. Somebody said the only way that you can live above sin is to rent an apartment above an alcoholic. That's the only way. You can't live above it. I know that. You can't live above it. We're in a sin-laden world. And every day when we look in the mirror, we're looking at someone who, praise God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he has given you help in this world to live a life to overcome and be victorious. Other than that, just think about all the other people in the world that don't know Christ and think about what they do. You know, you look at the most righteous individual in the world apart from Christ, and they still got issues. They still got issues. And it's because of the fall. I hope I painted a picture this morning, because I really want us to see how devastating the fall actually was, and that the consequences affect all of us and touches all of our lives. But, you know, when I think about this right here, poor lion, right? He just bowed his head, you know, he just said, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. And it wasn't the lion's fault. You know, the fact that the lion now has a ferocious nature and wants to devour other things, hey, it's not the lion's fault. I read this in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now, this is in the Message Bible. Now, I know that there are some here this morning that struggle with the Message, all right, because it's a paraphrase. It's not a translation. So I understand that. But I just thought some of the word pictures that came out in the Message kind of typifies what the fall represents. So let me read this. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. All right? The fall. The fall. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. The fall. The fall. Trinket gods. Magic show religion. Paranoid loneliness. Cutthroat competition. All consuming yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper. And impotent to love or to be loved. Divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. And in the Message, Eugene Peterson translating this passage says, and I could go on. And I could go on. What a list! What a list! Just look at that list. That's what we see today. We see it today. There's no question about that. And it all stems from the fall. It all stems from the fall. But thank God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 21 through 22. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Yeah. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall all be made alive. Thank God for the second Adam. Thank God for the second Adam. Because we see what the first Adam messed up, the second Adam straightened out. Have you ever had a problem in your house? And you tried to work on the problem, and you just made it worse. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? All right. And then you finally call somebody, right? to look at it, and they come and they say, man, who in the world? Who in the world worked on this? I'm laughing right now. Because they look, man, I got to straighten out a mess here. And that's what the second Adam did. There was a mess. And the second Adam straightened it out. The first Adam committed a sinful act of disobedience. The second Adam committed an act of righteous obedience when he died on the cross. Amen. The first Adam brought sin and death. The second Adam brought righteousness and life. The first Adam brought judgment. The second Adam brought justification. The first Adam, he was right with God. He was in a right relationship with God. When he sinned, he got in a wrong relationship with God. When the second Adam came, he put him back in a right relationship with God. The first Adam brought judgment. The second Adam brought justification. The first Adam brought a curse. The second Adam brought a blessing. The first Adam brought bondage. The second Adam brought liberty. Thank God that he didn't leave us caught up in the ravages of sin. Thank God for that. Two paintings, or a painting and a sculpture. Rembrandt did a famous painting called The Night Watch, which is known around the world. Michelangelo sculptured a statue called the Pietà, which was Mary holding, now we know that this is not necessarily biblical now, so I don't want anybody to walk out here thinking that it's biblical, but Mary holding Jesus, you know, after he was taken down off the cross. The Night Watch, over in Amsterdam, a museum, somebody came in with a knife and just began to hack away at it, tear away at it, and just brutalized the painting. In St. Peter's Cathedral, somebody came in with a hammer and began to bust up the Pietà and just began to chip it all apart. And eventually, in both cases, they caught the guys while in the act of doing it. And in both cases, they brought in experts in the field of art, the one in paintings and the other in sculptures. And after much time, they were almost able to completely restore these two pieces back to the original. They took the experts and brought them in and got it almost back to the original. Well, let me tell you, there was an enemy. His name was Satan. And he came in the form of a serpent. And he had a knife and he had a hammer. And he was ripping and he was pounding. And he destroyed God's creation. And God said, wait a minute. Let me go get the experts. And he went and he got his son, Jesus Christ, who came and lived on this earth for 30-some years, was hung up on the cross, died, was buried, and rose again. And the expert came. And he didn't get us all the way back to perfect, but he got us a long way from where we were at. Thank God that sin might have had its ravages, but God brought in the expert. And God is working on us. And then we know one day there will be a perfect restoration of this painting and of this sculpture. And that is when we see our Lord face to face, because we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of We Might Wobble, But We Don't Fall Down. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Ravages of Sin, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Ravages of Sin. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Ravages of Sin. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. That's 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.